Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and fun fact, Batman and I have never been spotted in the same place at the same time.
I'm Kat, and excuse you, I am not part of the DC universe. Marvel girl!
I'm Pippin, and when I take off my glasses, I can't see.
I'm Alex, and I have a secret that I cannot tell. Okay, I don't really care about superheroes.
What?
Scandal.
How dare.
That's understandable.
I don't think we can be twins anymore.
No.
A schism.
I'm kidding. I love you most.
Damn.
What?
I was gonna say, like, oh, maybe Kat can be the new twin.
No.
Hello,
sorry, guys.
I'm a twin.
Sorry, you guys.
Me.
Anyway. Today, we're talking about Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. So spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. Thanks to listener Karina for the request.
Thank you, Karina.
Thank you.
Yay. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, the summary from Amazon is, fearing the actions of a godlike superhero left unchecked, Gotham City's own formidable, forceful vigilante takes on Metropolis's most revered modern-day savior, while the world wrestles with what sort of hero it really needs. And with Batman and Superman at war with one another, a new threat quickly arises, putting mankind in greater danger than it's ever known before. Okay, so that's a description. Where to begin?
I mean, I think I'm speaking for all of us when I can say too much going on.
Way too much.
Too much going on.
And yet not enough at the same time.
It was rather dull.
That's just your feeling about Wonder Woman. Admit it.
Listen, I really love Wonder Woman. I love her so
much. Not even
so
Wonder
much.
Woman's presence helped this.
No.
Also, this is just me, but I thought the Jesus symbolism was a little bit heavy-handed in the movie, but maybe that's just me.
Oh, no, it's not just you. It's
I don't
everybody.
Know. You know, honestly, if they had stuck to their conceit, God versus man or what have you, I could have gone with it. I could have been like, all right, I can see it. Because it is a legitimate concern with Superman.
If they played it straight.
Well, yeah, but even the Superman of this universe who does wreck shit without much care for what he's wrecking. Yeah, it's a legitimate concern. I'm sorry, what?
Collateral damage up the wazoo.
I was watching the movie in the little beginning bit with Metropolis, and I was like, oh shit, was I supposed to have watched Superman before this?
Oh god, I hope not.
There's a little bit of... All you need to know is Kryptonians attacked Earth, Superman was already here, they have a big fight, lots of people die.
Yeah, and then I was wondering if this movie is actually just a response to the criticism of Superman, that they didn't care about the collateral damage.
Oh, 100%. Actually, one of my copious notes was that happens frequently enough that it's noticeable and distracting. They made a point to always mention, like, oh, that's an abandoned part of the city, or, oh, thank goodness it's the end of the workday, so nobody's downtown.
Because oh my god.
Or this uninhabited island.
Yeah. Because this kind of reminds me of an American dub change they did for the Dragon Ball Z cartoon. one of the, I think it was Nappa or somebody, destroys a city. In the original Japanese version, there's many, many, many people dead, but the American dubs for kids, so they just throw in a quick dub line saying, like, oh, good thing it was a Sunday, so nobody was there. Yay!
Oh.
Except the people immediately who were in front of him, he killed.
Well, they went to another dimension, Alex.
That's not death.
Going back to a previous point. Yeah, with the symbolism, right, of a god-like men like gods, whatever. is I am all for debates about vigilantism and who gets to say and who watches the Watchmen and things like that.
Shout out.
Right? But they were too heavy-handed about it. You guys are right. I feel like they kept it, like, sort of sliding off the point. Like, getting close and just sort of skidding right off.
Yeah.
There was never a moment I felt of really any internal anguish when it came to Superman's character. He had no characterization at all, really, in this film, aside from punch guys. That's neat.
I love Lois Lane. And I'll prove it by fucking her in a bathtub. Woo!
With my clothes on.
Oh, I got so mad at him about that.
Water damage.
One of my notes straight up says, I don't care if he's Superman, I would murder him for flooding my apartment. Not sexy.
Ouch.
And also, if I'm going to listen to debates about vigilantism and who's allowed to do what and stuff, I do not need to hear that from fucking Batman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that could have been some nice traumatic irony. You know, like, it would have been fucking hilarious if somebody tiptoed over, or even if Alfred, who I did like and I thought he was criminally underused.
Oh, yeah.
If Alfred was just like, yeah, bro, no. Mm-mm. No, no, no.
Master Wayne, you're being a hypocrite. Bye.
Well, they're kind of both being hypocrites. Hey, you, stop what you're doing.
Only I am the correct vigilante.
Which could have been a cool, like, if they concentrated on that and not had some stupid fucking Doomsday? What? The gigantic creature from Zod's ship?
Doomsday, yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why? And what the fuck? Okay, everybody, Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he had zero motivations. Pretty much all my final page of notes and all that all just had to do with me complaining about the fact that that guy, why is he doing anything in this movie?
It's because no he's reason. Crazy.
I guess that even then, crazy motivations are still motivations. Well, I didn't get anything.
No, that's true.
No one really had any motivation, and except Bruce, who had too much motivation.
Crazy motivation.
I
misplaced motivation, even.
Like, Superman, he had no motivation for, you know, being against Bruce.
Well, no, you know, I think his motivation about being against Bruce is that Bruce is a fucking insane person who wanders around branding people.
I didn't get that.
It's hardcore, Pippin.
Like,
he's hardcore Batman.
Hardcore Batman.
It's just weird.
That's how you show he's a bad guy-ish to some people.
I think the implication is it's a Batman that's been on the job for about 20 years, who for some reason doesn't really get mentioned prior, whatever.
Too old to die young. Best line.
But, like, I guess the implication, there was, like, a quick little throwaway bit of, like, oh, the Joker killed Robin.
Wait, implied. That happened?
Wait.
Implied.
What? What?
There's a very brief scene halfway through the movie where Bruce walks by.
Was it with the uniform with the ha?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a Robin suit. It's, I think, supposed to be a reference to the comic Death in the Family.
Jason Todd?
Yeah, Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what would have been a great B-plot? That.
Robin dying? Yeah.
No, not even Robin dying, but just going through that issue. I'm sorry, it's a sad thing when the Lego Batman movie does a better job of grounding Batman's problems.
Well, yes. Also, speaking of Batman's problems, the beginning of the movie, A, aside from being a dream sequence, which I'll get to later.
So many dream sequences.
Did we really... There were five. Did we really need...
Not that you're counting.
I counted that, and I also counted the number of times Lois was in peril. What? Three.
Only three?
Yeah, only three. Surprising. Yeah, there was a lot to do in the movie. All right, so... Starting off the movie, did we really need to do the full scene of Batman's parents dying again?
I don't know. How many times do we need to know about Spider-Man's Uncle Ben? I mean, a lot of times.
Well, to be
fair, Spider-Man Homecoming didn't mention
it. Yeah.
That's the joke.
Oh. My apologies.
Let me explain my humor in detail. That will make it funnier.
That's very avant-garde. it just, at some point, it almost becomes frivolous to go over it again. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that the shots that Zach there decided to use were just pretty much he wanted to show Frank Miller comic strips.
Basically. Mm. I mean, they were very pretty pictures. Very
pretty.
That
somebody else already made.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, other sidebar, why the hell were they watching Excalibur?
The Once and Future King.
This is a shitty 80s, or it was 80s something, it was the 70s? No. It's a shitty movie is all I'm getting at. And if they wanted to do that, maybe it could have played into later in the movie. Like, maybe instead of a frickin' spear, it could have been a sword. And then we'd have a stronger connection to Excalibur there. Quick fix. Yay.
Does everybody like that time that Lois Lane threw the spear into the puddle and then 5 minutes later it's like, oh shit, I need that again. And then she drowns. Had a moment of peril caused because the plot made her throw it away in the first place.
For
no good reason.
Such a problem with how women were represented in this movie, up to and including Diana. In general, I felt like the movie was trying to get me to connect dots, but didn't exactly tell me where the dots were so I could connect them.
It was a squiggly line.
Yeah.
My feeling about the movie was that they were trying to front load all... They're trying to build up a cinematic universe like Marvel has.
Oh, God.
Without the bullshit, frankly, that Marvel went through in the beginning. Have we all suffered through Thor 1? Yes.
Yeah, we earned that stripe.
I hate to say it, Captain America. I love Captain America. The first movie, well, it was there.
Had a charm to it. It had a charm
it had
to
a
it.
A charm, and his name was Chris Evans. But
excuse you, Peggy Carter is there, and I will not have you stand to her this way.
Fair enough. Hayley Atwell, we love you. I mean, that movie ended on a fucking bummer. Like, literally, that movie's like, meh, you're fucked. The end. You know, it depended entirely on, let's hope Iron Man can see us through for another few million.
To be fair, it did.
To be fair, and it totally worked. The problem is that DC's trying to play catch-up now and not willing to go...
To invest
or to have some shitty movies to get it done. Like, you know, sorry.
Each time the... They try, they kind of end up with, you know, Superman Returns.
Oh.
Superman, hey, he's back.
Well, like, for instance, the Wonder Woman movie. Excellent. Solid in terms of getting putting a piece on the chessboard. Right there.
At the same time, though, I always felt the beginning of Wonder Woman was a little bit awkward, because again, it's like just trying to tie it into this cinematic universe bit. And it's like, save that for the end stinger when the movie's over.
Yeah.
That's where that piece belongs. Not at the beginning of the movie, not spliced in awkwardly as hell. There were two brief bits in the theatrical version where there's looking at computer files, more or less.
Yeah.
We're decrypting this.
Here's some security cam footage of the Flash, and Aquaman, and Cyborg.
Important question. Did the Flash show up at any other point for you guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but was that another dream sequence? Question mark. It was set up like one.
It was literally another, like, the flimsy, yes, don't worry, you're totally right, Superman is a dick, red herring throwaway, and it's like,
was he talking about Lex the entire time?
I was watching it and I went, oh, Barry, you're fucking it up, good job, kid.
Bruce, I have to follow time travel convention and tell you very cryptic messages.
Oh, Barry.
I hope I don't flashpoint this.
Shit.
Oh, I love Barry Allen. He didn't deserve this.
I would have loved to have a Barry Allen movie all by himself so I could learn to love him. Individually.
Well, we have The Flash.
Yeah, just watch The Flash.
On CW. Yeah. I think I heard a rumor that, like, Aquaman shows up.
Wait, like in person? Not just on camera?
That's what I heard. Maybe it was a deleted scene.
If he did, I completely missed it. Which, you know, is possible. I was getting really bored and kind of...
I played a lot of Candy Crush, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some Candy Crush. There was some just sort of staring just off of my TV.
Yeah.
Sort of wondering what would happen if the characters got therapy instead of actually watching the movie I was watching.
Batman needs therapy. All those dreams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not healthy.
There so many times I wrote down, Bruce, you need therapy. Clark, you could use it too.
Lex, let's get you there too.
Yeah. Lex needs meds. I think that there's a separate subject that can be, like, a separate podcast that we could do just on dreams as shortcuts, and not in the good way.
Yeah.
Dreams as lazy narrative exposition filling.
Yeah. Or, yeah, there's a lot, that's the deep well to
oh, yeah.
plumb, dig.
Destroy.
Yeah, only do dreams if, like, it's the entire thing.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like Inception.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I mean, I just think in this, you can have a dream sequence. Dream sequences are often hilarious.
Well, dream sequences in general, for me, if they're not the entire point of the story, they are just supposed to be kind of representative of, like, they're like the shorthand for what our character's psychological state is supposed to be. Not a, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, having like shorthand is, by the way, that's my cat. Yeah. Hi, Smooch. Having shorthand is one thing, but depending on it for the entirety of your motivation.
Yeah.
That's where we start getting, like, you know, dudes, do some actual action, you know?
Like, what was it? The, weird demon dream thing that caused Batman to decide to kill Superman? Was that it?
Which one? Oh, was it the one where it's really kinky? That one?
Oh!
The chains?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about, like, the outside scene with him in a jacket and then demons attack, and it was weird.
It leads into that.
Yeah, that was all one big dream.
Yeah, where he gets knocked unconscious in his own dream, which is weird enough.
That was weird.
In his own way.
That was awkward.
Though I will admit, those bug demons were kind of cool.
Those bug demons were extremely cool, and you can see it connect up to maybe that painting that Lex had, which I, you know,
which would make more sense if Bruce was in that scene.
Or saw that painting at all.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Really? Was that Clark?
No. He was never there. It was the senator, which is another character. We haven't talked about that scene at all yet. Oh, my God.
It's the above women in this movie.
Yeah.
That mason jar full of piss, everybody.
That's so weird.
Which, how in the hell do you miss that?
How does that get into the chamber?
The smell.
And that's when you go, oh, shit, Superman. Someone's doing super weird shit. And Superman goes, use microwave vision. Oh, that's a bomb in there.
Well,
Hold on a sec.
Okay, and then Pip, going to your point about how women are treated in this film, that assistant who we got, like, foreshadowed over and over and over again. I thought she was going to pull some Kingsman shit and start cutting people with a prosthesis we were unaware of. I mean,
no, she gets,
no. And then you just
here's the unfortunate thing. I actually did a little bit of, you know, research because I wanted to be professional.
Yeah, she was called Mercy, wasn't she?
Yes. All she is a callback to the Justice League of America cartoon.
What?
Of which Lex Luthor has the assistant Mercy.
Wait, is her name Mercy?
Yep.
They could have done so much with that.
Yeah.
My God, you're right.
That would have been, like, you know, thematically appropriate.
The quality of Mercy is not strained. It could have been great.
Mm-hmm. Superman could have saved her life or something. Who knows?
Ooh.
But yeah, oh man, there's just so much to talk about here. Like, what other problematic women roles were there? The fact that all of the women in the movie had to be rescued or killed?
What did any woman actually do in that movie? Like, if you removed them, what would happen?
Nothing.
Including Wonder Woman?
Including Wonder Woman.
If you remove her, she just jumps in later. She momentarily blocks Bruce, but not fully, with regard to that encryption thing. She's just like, lol, thanks, bye.
I'm in this movie too, huh?
Yeah, like, I wear pretty dresses, boom. And then she comes and has a good time beating up somebody, but she's not instrumental to their defeat.
It looked like she was having a lot of fun in that final battle, honestly.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, and I will watch her fight people all day. It'll be great. But if you actually removed her from the movie, nothing would change.
Yeah.
Also, the fact they explicitly said that any attack done on him on Doomsday there was counter to their goal. It was just making him stronger. So, yeah.
They could have said any energy-based, I don't know.
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
Yeah, so nuclear, yes, but if you actually cut him. Oh, I feel like there's a Greek thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that gets into Greek shit instead of the, like, a convoluted Christianity they're attempting here.
Yet still ham-fisted, which is the impressive thing to do.
It's not great when the religion from Assassin's Creed is a little bit, is better established.
At least we got most of the line right. Aww.
And like internally consistent.
But no, if you, they could have very easily given Wonder Woman the spear to stab Doomsday, and because, you know, she's not too human to, you know, be killed instantly. Poor Batman.
And also know how to get out of the way out after her stabbing it.
Also is a melee weapons expert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Was that a spear? I can just throw that. Yeah, easy peasy done.
Fling. Hey, woo! Let's go home and have some tea, guys.
Well, and she could also theoretically represent the medium between a human versus a godlike object. I mean, she's not in enough. Is she a demigod?
Yes.
This one is a daughter of Zeus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daughter of Zeus and Hippolyta.
Yeah. Okay, so fine. Yeah, that still counts as a halfway point. Yeah. And also, she's done a much better job of just sort of blending in for a lot longer than these assholes.
Yeah.
She's just generally better.
You two are terrible at this.
Yeah.
Prance off.
Oh, my God.
And the fact that she had to watch a CNN report to go and help out. It's like, oh, Anderson Cooper, you're right. I need to go help out. That's a good point.
I think it was more just sort of waiting to see if they were going to clean up their own shit. And then watching it and going, oh, they actually are just useless.
I can see that as part of, like, if we were to have a proper Diana storyline, that would be her, you know, measuring the whether or not it's worth getting back involved in the trials and tribulations of man. But instead, it's just, you know, again, it's stupid fucking plot shenanigans.
Yeah.
Man, there's just so much wrong, even with that final scene, that final setup. So what's funny about this movie is that there's just so little content in the middle of the movie.
Mm.
And it's just like, okay, let's get them fighting. Yeah.
Wait, you didn't appreciate the, like, really long and odd workout montage?
but anyway, all this lead up to the final battle, which I don't think there was any way they could have overhyped this nonsense and B, just kind of fizzle.
You're talking about a Batman versus Superman, the actual fight.
Yeah. Why even bother bringing in Batman at all? He's like a small scale vigilante crime fighter. If he wanted to destroy the symbolism that was Superman, it's like, hey, Superman, I have your mother. You have 25 minutes to go kill a child. Go.
Yeah, no, like, that would have been awesome. Can you imagine that as a movie? I mean, awesome is a relative term, obviously. No child death.
It would have been horrifying.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, on the other hand, when you say it like that, I realize that that may, I mean, maybe they considered some. No, they didn't.
No. God, no.
In our position, we must consider that actually is a little bit of a callback to what happened with, was it the good Batman movie with Heath Ledger? With the
Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Wait, are we saying that we could have had an echo of a successful movie and we could have had what would Superman do in that same ideological battle of wills?
What?
Save what? Those votes at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, that could have been cool.
doing that thing where you have what appears to be an impossible situation, but yay, they're superheroes.
Yeah.
So, I think we haven't really touched on it lightly. What do we think about old Lex Luthor there?
He donates to the library. That's pretty sweet of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're easily bought, Pip.
Listen, libraries are important.
Well, a part of me can understand where Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal was going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just kind of going for, like, an unhinged tech genius person, you know, Silicon Valley type.
If he'd been a religious fanatic, he had the painting, he had that problem with God, if they'd really leaned into it.
That would have given him motivation, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they kept, like, on bringing up his dad. And, like,
yeah,
you're trying to do something here, and you need to bring that together. Have his dad be super religious. Have his dad have a God complex. Something.
Yeah, the movie was bringing up all these dots and then refusing to connect them.
Also, just other question. So, Lex Luthor's big plan, right? Get Batman and Superman to fight and at least probably get Batman killed, which I guess net benefit for himself. I don't know if he knew Batman was also Bruce Wayne, which, way to go, genius. He cut off some funding there.
I think he did. Because, like,
oh, that's right.
Because what?
He mentioned and how Batman has been stewing on his hate for 2 years.
Yeah, and also all the letters, all the checks that were bouncing.
Oh, yeah, that was very specifically targeted to Bruce.
I mean, there's no guarantee that Bruce would ever see these marked up checks.
Why
I mean,
didn't
that's,
he?
Yeah, that's another
Not
problem.
Until it was too late. And it's like, why was this never cashed? You'd think we'd notice that we were suddenly, you know, several, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in the black that weren't accounted for. Oh, wait, it's for that one guy. What? Hold on.
Actually, if you think about the way taxes work, big companies like that bound to be audited yearly. Frankly, and particularly if you're a straightforward shooting guy the way Wayne is supposed to be. Yeah, no, this should have come up long before. He's going to have to do some serious house cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
After the events of this movie. His entire, like, there's been a
Bring
breakdown.
Bring in my financial department.
There might be some serious federal issues here.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Also, can, changing the subject again, can I take a moment to be really annoyed by the Kryptonian ship and how easy it made that whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the council is dead. Okay, cool. All rules no longer apply.
Hello there, random alien species.
You shouldn't be able to do this, and also it's illegal. Okay. And, like, how does he know what to do? What did his blood do to the Kryptonian...
Shrug.
Zad
does that mean that, you know, does that mean that if Lois and Clark there have a baby... That it would also be a doomsday baby.
Probably.
I'd watch that
Who's
movie.
A little doomsday baby? Who's a little doomsday baby? You are.
Though it was also a zombie.
Wait, yeah. It was a zombie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was Zod's body.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, hey. Jesus risen. See, here's the problem. There are so many little, Pip, I agree with you completely. There's so many weird little check boxes that have been marked here on like 5 separate forms. You know?
Yeah.
Without ever actually filling out one complete order.
It's like too much plot. Pick a thing. Like, I would be so down for this movie if it, like, picked one of its themes.
I'd be down for this movie if it wasn't this movie.
Like, I am here for vigilanteism debates.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
And all of that.
The ethics of superheroes.
So there for it.
Mm. So there.
I think we've kind of gotten close to talking about our fixes, but I think it's now time to just go full force into what would we do to fix it. Who goes first?
Right, I'll go first.
God damn it.
Actual documentary.
Actual documentary.
Yep.
Okay. So, what part of the canon you're keeping? How is this being set up?
Like, I don't know the title yet. Actually, no. Batman v Superman subtitle. From enemies to friends or something.
Enemies to lovers.
From enemies to super friends.
Have Jeffrey Irons, or Jeremy
Irons
narrate it. Like, opening, Batman and Superman two of the world's greatest superheroes.
Sorry, I have some thoughts about Batman being a superhero.
Yeah. They did not always see eye to eye, and at one point, it came to a head.
It came to blows.
Yeah. Their conflict started on May of 2015, or whatever this movie came out. But could be said that their conflict started 2 years before.
Or even 40 years before, with the death of...
of Bruce Wayne's parents. Oh, shit, I just spoiled it. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Turn off the recording. Turn off the recording. Oof.
Well, question, would the documentary itself be set as if it was taking place within the world of the movies, or is it just kind of like, almost like kind of for us, the meta characters, the audience?
No, in-universe.
So you could have like the running jokes of like, we interviewed Clark Kent, who'd always get us the solid information on Superman.
And see, I'm thinking with things provided from the Louvre by Diana Prince.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Prince.
Dr. Prince.
You know she's gotten her doctorate by now.
Totes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we talked to Lex Luthor in prison, and you know, he can...
Through his lawyer.
And he can go into his entire spiel, and during that spiel, we can have one of those slow pan-ups of that painting.
Dear Martha, I write to you from the battlegrounds.
Oh, God.
And from the cafeteria of the hospital. Here's the thing. I'm not sure that would have appeal as a straight-up movie, but I would love to see it as like a TV special.
Netflix original TV series.
Not even a series. Like, just a special. And I don't know. Like, are you thinking humor or, like, tongue-in-cheek or serious? Because we're making some Ken Burns jokes here, but...
Comedy that takes itself fully serious.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
So we're kind of laughing at how serious they're treating it. Okay.
Yeah.
Who sponsors the documentary? Is it Wayne Corp or Lex Corp or...
No. Fully independent. Or actually just the History Channel.
No.
Well, there's an alien involved, so...
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Modern alien. You can have the Ancient Aliens guy show up. It'll be great.
Oh my god, you could. Oh my. No, I'm.
And he's doing that hand gesture while saying Kryptonians.
Not saying it was Kryptonians, but it was Kryptonians.
But it was Kryptonians.
They built the. Actually, wouldn't that kind of make those alien crazies a lot more sensible if suddenly Superman was a thing? Is this like, well. Superman exists. I guess we can't dismiss pyramids being made.
Oh, God. Although, you know what? I was just saying that you know, I'd watch that as a special. But actually, if you did a movie like that, not with these characters, you know, new universe, I would go see that in a theater.
Well, yeah, just having fun with material. Yeah.
I just remember that Ben Affleck once played Daredevil.
Yep.
Why did you remember that, Pippin?
I can't help it.
You get one superhero mulligan. It worked for Ryan Reynolds.
Mostly because I was thinking, oh, he jumped universes.
Oh. Tying into yours, Al, how would you address Doomsday in the documentary?
When we asked Exufer why he made Doomsday, he said, I know, if I was a good idea at the time.
Just a bunch of grainy photographs, some ominous music.
Ooh,
ooh. Oh. Sometimes in science you do shit for just giggles.
I want him to do some like random religious fanaticism, like trying to tie Doomsday into, oh wait, hey, Doomsday, apocalypse, sorry, just got it. Oh dear. And and then I want like just a completely separate character, like a religion studies professor, be like, that is not how that works.
D for effort.
If man can't kill God, the devil doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's not referencing any actual theocracy I know of. This is just mania. Why are you having me comment on this? This is crazy. Get his psychologist out here.
Let me go work on my thesis now.
Also, an alien corpse is not the devil.
Well, it is if an alien superhero is God. I mean, come on.
Duh.
Yeah, Superman isn't God either.
How dare you, sir?
Like, we reached out to the Pope, and he said, yeah, no, he isn't God.
The Vatican did not comment in time for this filming.
So, if we're done with that one, I want to jump in on mine.
Do
Go
it.
Go for it.
Okay.
All right. Al, you done?
I'm done.
So, what I'm thinking is because I am so mad about the women in this movie, I am going to make them the stars. Fuck all the men. They're useless and whiny and need to go to therapy.
Fair.
So instead, this movie is going to be about Lois Lane. Fuck everyone else. Amy Adams is too good for this movie.
You're not wrong.
I'm never wrong. So what it's going to be is it's going to be Lois doing investigative journalism. And she's investigating, I'm going to say LexCorp. Mm-hmm. It's tempting to have her investigating the Batman, you know, and Wayne Enterprises.
The Bat of Gotham.
But she's going to be investigating LexCorp because there's some, you know, it you know, starts off as an interview with Lex Luthor and she notices some, you know, crazy. And, you know, she's sort of, you know, looking more into it. Maybe she interviews Bruce Wayne about it because, you know, he has business dealings with Lex Luthor. And she's the one connecting everything and bringing it all home, as opposed to everybody sort of doing their own thing and them all hoping that it comes together in the end.
Actually, it would be really fascinating if it's, you know, so she starts the movie with her relationship with Clark Kent. I assume that that happened in the previous movie.
Yeah.
It'd be really fascinating if during the course of her investigative journalism, she came to start questioning Clark and questioning his role in things. And so she could have a crisis of, wait for it, faith and... I mean, if we wanted to keep doing that as a victim, which is, there's no guarantee. But then it could be, as Brendan likes to say, it could be character driving the plot.
Yeah. And, you know, she can actually be having conversations with Diana, who's in town donating shit or whatever she was doing, who's doing her own investigation and things.
Yes.
So she's seeing this other, woman doing investigation, and so they're sort of, you know, circling each other, trying to figure out what they each know, and then eventually helping each other, which brings Diana actually sort of watching Bruce and Clark, who are still doing their own weird thing.
But I hate you. I hate you.
Girls in the corner being like, you want coffee? Let's go get coffee.
But it's more, you know, Lois talking to both of them and seeing this happening. And so Diana can also see it and have opinions.
And you know, then you could have pulled in the rest of those fucking metahumans too in the light of investigative journalism. Like, she's investigating, she's solving a mystery.
As opposed to hitting one magic button that's like, launch extendeduniverse.exe.
Yeah, and she discovers Diana, and Diana's all like, so yeah, that's a thing. And then they become BFFs forever.
Forever.
And Diana takes her to Themyscira and they get married.
That took a left turn.
That part might actually not happen in my movie, but that will be where I'm trying to lead all the fanfic to.
Well, I don't think you need to lead that. That is going to be a...
The fanfic will take you home there, Pep.
That's all I want. But yes, so in my version, it's the women taking control, doing these things, while the men are being useless and needing therapy. That's basically what I'm doing.
It'd be pretty great if, like, halfway through the film, Lois Lane is like, so I, you know, I noticed that you're feeling kind of tense. I've found this therapist, you know, that you might be interested in. Clark's like, no, aliens don't need therapists. This is fine and normal.
I have dad crystals.
He taught me some Kryptonian meditation. I don't need your earth therapy.
We need to talk about your isolationist tendencies.
All right. So, do we have any other questions for Pip? Like who the villains are?
Oh, yeah. Who's the villain?
Is it still Lex Luthor?
It's still Lex Luthor being shifty. Okay. And maybe he's just trying to do Doomsday and he's not trying to do the Batman versus Superman thing, because they've actually got that covered on their own. They didn't need extra prodding on that.
That'd be nice, actually, if they were just, like, you know, having their own private fuck-all attitude going on, and then, like, Lex is like, well, you know what? While they're busy doing something else, I'll just do this.
I don't even need to kidnap Superman's mom, who I managed to find.
Yeah, that was weird. And then Lois can go to the two heroes that she knows and go, listen, I've noticed something really fucking bad here.
Can't help, we're fighting.
That makes more sense than them independently deciding, wait, we should work together after beating the shit out of each other for 5 minutes.
That was like the quickest turnaround.
Are we best friends now?
I think so.
I'm sorry, Pip, I couldn't quite hear that. Could you do your Batman voice one more time?
I don't want to. Here's the thing. Batman's voice is way more fun.
It is.
And then they each learn that their own differences aside, it is about helping people. And Lois is a people.
It'd be great, though, if Lois was like, you shitheads, people.
You're on the same fucking side.
Yeah.
Okay. Kat.
I want to go. Yay.
You want to go.
I want to go.
I'll take this outside.
You want to go?
Take it outside. Take it. Wait, it's inside. Okay. Hamilton reference fail. All right. So I'm going to try to play this straight, actually. I'm going to try to fix.
What?
I'm going to try to fix the movie as it was. Quick fixes to get this better than it was. Okay.
Okay. Tall order.
First of all, we're going to cut out the Flash. We're going to cut out the mention of the other metahumans. That's like order number one. Order number two, get rid of all those fucking dream sequences. Not necessary. Fuck that.
Agreed.
Order number three. This is from Bruce's point of view. He gets the voiceover for no good reason. Like, it's not followed through in any way. He gets that, like, this is the history of my parents. Why? So I'm going to try to keep Diana in this just because I like her. But hate to say it, I'm probably going to get rid of her too. Bye, Diana.
Oh. Gasp.
Look, she has no purpose in the story whatsoever.
I'm so mad.
Yeah.
She's front and center on the cover.
That's because she's a lady parts.
Ugh.
From that point, I also will probably take out the physical fights between Batman and Superman.
No! Can you throw one out round just a little bit?
Okay, we can do like a couple of punches at the last minute when other things have failed and are going to continue to fail. What I would like to do, I'd like to take some of what Pip was talking about, bring Lois more front and center. I want the fight between Batman and Superman to be more focused on their specialties. So brain versus brawn, or brawn versus brain plus a lot of money. I mean, because Batman does have significantly more resources than Clark Kent does.
Mm.
Also, frankly, you know, a much longer time to be really pissed about stuff. Because I will keep the fact that he's really pissed about Superman destroying, like, the fucking city. Also, if in case the city wasn't enough, destroying Wayne Corp in Metropolis or whatever happened. And leaving orphan children, because we all noticed that one, right?
Just a quick note about Wayne Corp falling apart. What kind of shitty boss is it that's like, the city is actively being destroyed around you and you still have to wait for the CEO's approval to let people out of the building?
Oh, God. But they don't want to disappoint him. Whatever. Why was there that 8-year-old girl, by the way, just like in the middle of the road?
Because there's always a child in the middle of the road crying.
At least it made sense in like the Marvel movies when they're like having to empty a bus and on the bus are a bunch of kids. Like that makes sense. So I like the idea of Batman being really sort of focused in a way that Superman isn't. Superman has other shit to do. He's got like this personal stuff going on. And so it can, in some ways, be seen as like a fly bothering a cow. You know, so I'd like to play that up. I'd like to play maybe Batman wanting to start a fight that Superman's just really not engaging with.
Come on, let's fight. Let's fight. I could totally take you.
Like, IDK, man. I gotta check my Instagram.
Superman's got his hand on Bruce's forehead. He's just sort of swinging it with his other hand. He's checking his phone.
But it takes Lois to be like, no, listen, like, okay, so he's doing this really, really badly, but the giant bat does have a point. I would take Lex out of the equation. Fuck Lex Luthor. I don't need him. I don't think that they needed an outside villain. I think the villains could have been themselves all along.
What? Not the friends we made along the way?
It was the villains we made along the way.
Yeah, it's a matter of pulling this back and making it about character, because that's what's fun about the notion of Batman versus Superman. Is this an unfair fight? You'd think so. Well, why? And how could this be coming about? And blah, 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 blah. You don't need more than that. Not to be weird about it, but did Alien versus Predator need more? People just wanted to see that showdown.
Well,
I haven't seen the movie, so.
Discussion for another day. It's a kind of shitty movie, too.
I don't want to watch Alien versus Predator.
Wait, wasn't there also Freddy versus Jason and, you know?
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Okay, so apparently nobody can do this well except for me.
Wow.
Listen, there is a lot of appeal to the idea of taking these two iconic characters and making them fight. The idea is you don't make them. They have to naturally come to that inevitability. And fortunately, you have that in the actions of the previous movie. Superman kind of fucked up and destroyed some shit. Batman took that fucking personally, which is what he does. Batman takes shit personally. Superman kind of doesn't.
My parents were killed and now I'm sad, so now I'm gonna go and beat you up.
My planet died?
Oh.
Spock's in the fucking background. Be like, high fives! It works for you too!
But you were adopted by a wholesome Kansas parents.
I grew up in Kansas.
Anyway, basically, I would just cut this down a lot. Cut out a lot of the chaff. I'd make this a tight hour 40. I could do it. I don't think that's a problem. We've started getting really into the bloated film. I don't think that's necessary. You know, there's art to be had in something short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might just be me being interested in minimalism, but letting Lois have a bit more action and making the villains be the friends they made along the way. Okay. That's my rewrite.
Legit.
I kind of want to take a script, actually. I want to take the shooting script for this film and cut it down and post that up on our blog.
Okay.
Your turn. Oh, unless you have questions for me. Do you have questions?
I just worry that it's a little bit too subtle as is for that, at least in film format, if you're going to have it be very tight. So if you're wanting to have it be like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute film, there really has to be a strong driving force that really kind of dictates a really tight action development like that. You know, so you're going to have to spend, if you want to have like a really personal drama like that, you're going to have to spend a lot of time really establishing that maybe an external force could be kind of, you know, acting as the catalyst in that case, just to really make it. It would develop on its own anyway, but with this,
I see.
That's where monster or maybe somebody resurrects or who knows, you know.
All right. Well, wait.
Monster MacGuffin can do something.
This, I think, is where the handy idea of what the task is. We brought this up in the previous episode. The almost arbitrary thing that has to get done. Well, what if there's a problem with the city with regard to something that's gone on because of Superman's actions or something? I'm again reminded of the Lego Batman movie where if the city breaks apart, then they fall into the void. So don't let the city fall apart. Uh-oh, it's going to anyway. Something like that. So something that kind of pushes everybody over the edge while at the same time being a danger, but without being a person.
Okay. It can be a situational thing. It's just,
yeah,
you gotta have something to drive the characters to do this in the first place. Otherwise, equilibrium's a thing.
Well, maybe I wouldn't have it start 2 years after the previous damage.
2 seconds.
You know, like Batman goes home, you know, Bruce Wayne goes home that night and is like, this has gotta fucking stop. You know, putting my foot down.
It's like he comes back from the one vacation he's ever taken in the last 20 years.
Alfred's like, yeah, we'll give this a week and we'll see how he feels. Week later, oh shit, he must mean it. You know, because 2 years is a long time to fester.
Yep.
And you're right. At that point, like, that's the kind of thing where, well, I don't know, to a certain degree, Batman being Batman, like, no, 2 years makes perfect sense for him to keep stewing on something and finally decide to fucking do it. No, I see what you're saying. I will think more on this topic. And please, listeners, if you have ideas, submit them, and then I'll talk about them or put them on Twitter or something.
Okay. Oh, is it my turn now?
It is your turn.
Yeah.
Can't put it off any longer.
Damn. Well, you guys have some, you know, pretty interesting story treatment ideas, and it's kind of inspired me to go with one of my other kind of more off-the-wall ideas. Because originally I was kind of agreeing with what Kat was saying there, where it's like, scrap all this meta-human establishment stuff and all that. Yeah, well, you know, let's have a thought experiment here. The big thing I'm going to change here, I'm going to get rid of the first part of the title, the Batman v Superman part.
Ooh.
So it's just going to be called Dawn of Justice.
Okay.
Hey, isn't that going to be fun? The establishment being, we don't want to overhype the Batman and Superman fight. Because you know what? No matter what, someone's going to walk away disappointed from that.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Like, I walked away, you know, granted there were like the techno gadgets and all that, but even then it felt a little underwhelming, especially in light of the fact that they immediately went on to go and fight the big scary monster 5 minutes later. And, you know, they're all hunky dory with each other. You know, it's like, well, why did we call it this movie? It should be Batman and Superman v Doomsday, Dawn of Justice. I just did not buy the Batman v Superman part of this movie. Now, in light of that, and also keeping in mind that I guess the studio itself was really, really, really desperate to have some other Justice League establishment in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's why those scenes were kind of ham-fisted in there. My thought is, what if we played into, you know, the Justice League themselves a little bit more? I mean, we could have all the promotional material all focus on Batman and maybe hint at the other ones. But what if Batman is collecting everybody to go and control Superman? They could be working with the U.S. government or something like that to be the counter to old Superman there. It's, you know, granted, it's kind of the plot of Suicide Squad, but hopefully not shitty. But so that way we could have like maybe a lot more Wonder Woman involvement.
Woo!
We could actually have, you know, Cyborg and the Flash at least maybe get an Aquaman, get some more solid introduction, just something. So maybe the entire point of the movie is get the team together at the very end of the movie to fight the big monster. That's one thought I was having there. So basically downplay the Batman versus Superman part, because frankly, I thought them fighting was not very well motivated and felt just kind of contrived and stupid.
Mm. Just skip right to Justice League.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah. But Superman's alive, because why not?
I realized as you were talking, I forgot that they wanted to have Superman dead, and my version doesn't have him dying. Well, he could. Maybe Batman goes too far, and now he's stuck with the repercussions of, I don't know, respond. Yeah, I don't know. See, that gets bullshitty again. No, they both live. They both live.
Okay.
But maybe Superman goes and pouts somewhere.
Okay. So with this in mind, one of the other things I'd also establish is that, you know, with the Doomsday construct and all that, I'd at least have it such that Lex Luthor there has a, you know, control mechanism somehow, like psychically linked to it, something, anything to at least have it make a little bit more sense, because that way it's like, oh, it's just wreaking havoc and we're going to have, you know, the world think more about the fact that having all these battles of Titans be really bad. But maybe that's where all the rest of the Justice League there helps out and kind of makes all the damage, you know, extremely mitigated, like Cyborg. I don't know if he's able to create force fields or something like that, but, you know, stuff like that. So they kind of prevent the collateral damage and stuff like that while this big titanic fight happens.
So you're keeping Lex Luthor?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fuck it.
Is he crazy?
Not as crazy. I mean, you know, sociopathic, definitely. I still kind of liked the, what if you had a Silicon Valley tech genius go evil.
Yeah, but that movie was the Facebook, and I feel like they already made that one with Jesse Eisenberg.
You know, they were clearly channeling that. It could be kind of similar to another Zack Snyder film slash Frank Miller story with Ozymandias, you know, creating the danger that unifies the world, right?
Are you talking about Watchmen?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually haven't seen it. I've only ever seen the first 5 minutes, that glorious short film.
That's all you need to watch.
Yeah.
Well, spoilers for Watchmen. The villain of the piece is actually Ozymandias, and he's...
King of Kings.
Yes.
That is what he's going for.
But he's going... His evil plan is basically manufacturing a crisis that unites the world and succeeds for now. But I think that's the gist of his plan, but he doesn't like that this unifying force is Superman, is a little bit unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm a tech genius, evil billionaire or whatever, I want people following my lead, my plan, my structure. And that's where the monster can come in. Oh, this monster, not even this, you know, superpowered being can destroy it. But, you know, hey, LexCorp brand lasers took care of it. And now, hey, cool. But that could come back at any time. You know, Kryptonians are a thing. They just kind of popped out of there. Weird. You know, that kind of thing. At least have justification for the villain.
Sort of like Syndrome in The Incredibles.
It's a very common trope for villains that have reasons for being villainous.
Reasons.
What?
Stronger villain, and then also really, really downplay the Batman versus Superman part, because frankly, I thought that was kind of dumb.
I like how you and I essentially came up with completely opposite things. Yep. I got rid of my villains and went all in on Superman versus Batman, and you're getting rid of Batman versus Superman and are like, let's get the villain in here.
Again, it has too many plots, and y'all just went
with one.
Let's pick one.
It's true.
Too many plots.
Pip.
Too many plots on the dance floor.
Pips was, you know, sliding the camera over, and Alex was just fucking changing genres.
Yeah. Alex was just throwing the script in the air and walking away.
Hey, no. All the stuff that happens in that movie still happens. We just change perspective. We now don't have to care about motivations.
Fuck motivation.
Now we follow Jimmy Olsen.
Blam. Oh my god. Wait, Jimmy Olsen. You just said Jimmy Olsen. What if the person putting together the film was Jimmy Olsen as a college graduate final for his journalism degree?
Yes.
Oh my god, yes.
Better than what they did to him in the movie, so yeah.
Yeah,
but then you have everybody, like, going ahead and giving him interviews because, gosh.
It's Jimmy Olsen.
He's just so cute and earnest.
And then there's everybody sort of, there's Lex Luthor giving the interview and just sort of poking at.
Now, tell me, you're a college kid. How did you get clearance to see me? I mean, like super jail here.
Also, do you expect to have a job when you graduate?
I just like the idea of Lex being like trying to get Jimmy to come over to his side, because, you know, he's a villain, so maybe he pulls like a what's it called, a Clarice. It'd be nice if it was like half and half, like the actual movie, and half like found footage talking head of Jimmy Olsen talking to himself, being like, I think that went really weird.
What does Granny's peach tea even mean?
Also, every time we do an impression of Lex Luthor, I just really badly want to say, and then we kill the Batman. I just wanted to throw that out there because I really wanted to say, and then we kill the Batman.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Wow, we talked about Batman versus Superman for a long time there, didn't we, guys?
we didn't even cover everything, let's be real.
No.
No, we could probably spend, I don't know, a semester talking about this movie.
God help us.
Let's play a game, shall we? So, I noticed on our little cheat sheet here that there's a new game. It's called Paradigm Shift, in which we just simply shift the genre. Now, Al already did this with his story treatment, but the stipulation for him is that he's going to have to make a different one. So,
and he can go last. I think that's fair.
Thank you.
Okay. So who shall go first?
Dibs. I'll go. Oh. What? Damn it.
Oh, I said dibs. You can't fight that.
The rules of dibs exist for a reason. Go on, Pip.
Yeah. So I want a romantic comedy.
Damn
because
it.
The Because at the end of the day, all I want is a romantic comedy. I want to sit down with some tea and watch people have hijinks and fall in love.
Who is it that falls in love?
I'm really tempted, really tempted to say Lois Lane and Wonder Woman.
Shock me.
I know. Because I guess Lois and Clark already fell in love in the previous movie. Whatever.
Here I thought you were to go with Batman and Superman.
Yep.
Batman and Superman, Dawn of Love!
Oh my god. Like, fuck the title game. Like, that's... I'm sorry, fuck the paradigm shift. That's the title game right there. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Dawn of Love.
I have exactly zero regrets right now. No, so Lois and Wonder Woman are falling in love, and while that's happening, Bruce and Clark are falling in love.
This kind of sounds like, what was that movie, that Christmas one with all the romance thing?
Love Actually?
Yes. Kind of sounds like that.
Oh my god, French fries with like, French fries with like Clark whipping his glasses on and off. Depending on if Bruce comes in or out of the room.
And actually, wouldn't it be the typical romantic comedy trope of like, you remove the glasses and they become instantly more attractive?
Yes!
Kiss me.
Yeah, Kiss Me starts playing.
But yeah.
So romantic comedy. Yeah, okay, cool.
That's where I'm at.
So, Kat, you seem pretty eager to jump into the paradigm shift, so go for it.
All right, guys. You know, this is a little outside of what I've done so far on the show, although not outside of what I actually write. I say we go horror.
What?
Yeah. I'm out.
You're noping out from that. I'm trying to think about the angles that could come from. You could do an angle straight up where it's, you know, the dangers of vigilantism, the dangers of the god. My thought, though, is from either the point of view of Lex Luthor, who considers himself a sane man. And so we have an unreliable narrator where he feels like he's being haunted and stalked and unfairly persecuted by these, you know, on the one hand, you have like this godlike being. And on the other hand, you have, you know, this company, Wayne Corp, encroaching on him from the outside. And, you know, the Batman's doing something weird and so on, you know, and maybe Batman is owned by Wayne Corp to do industrial espionage or something. But the problem is, of course, is that Lex is insane. And so you can do a lot of really fun stuff there with unreliable narrators, with fucking around with the audience expectation. Like, we know that they're good guys because we exist outside of that universe. But on the other hand, one can never really tell where a filmmaker is going with something. Maybe the filmmaker is being on purpose talking about how this is, you know, actually villainous, or maybe Lex Luthor's insane. So I think that would be really engaging. The other way to play it would be to have an entirely third party. The man on the street or non-binary, I don't care.
The person on the street.
Who is having to live in the middle of this, I don't even want to say, it's not totalitarian, but I imagine it's actually somewhat of a stressful world where you are surrounded by vigilantes who are not controlled by anybody. You're, you know, there's like this godlike creature that is apparently here doing good deeds, but is unreliable about it. And actually, maybe what's their point? I don't like it as much as I like the Lex as an unreliable narrator, but I think that there's a story to be had there. And my goal is just to make it very suspenseful, disturbing thriller.
So thriller over horror then?
I consider that to be a subgenre of horror. I realize that my definitions may not match other people's.
Okay.
And that's me.
Cool.
Oh,
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I can talk further if you like. I mean, it's no trouble.
Okay. The trouble I'm kind of running into is I keep on shifting into comedy, and it's like, oh, is that too close to Alex's?
You could go ribald comedy, like Judd Apatow comedy.
I was thinking Groundhog Day.
Actually, I was kind of thinking along the lines of like situational comedy TV series.
Ooh. Oh.
Maybe go full Super Friends, but like the arguments that Batman and Superman have are just like kind of totally slice of life, mundane arguments that two roommates would have.
Who drank my milk?
Like, imagine those shorts that were done, like last year, I think, with,
Thor.
You know, what Thor was doing? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
This is Craig.
Just Bruce just passive aggressively leaving kryptonite?
Oh yes. My god.
Tell me, do you bleed? Yes, Bruce. You've seen me bleed. Flashback. Oh my god, why do you have kryptonite in the kitchen drawer, Bruce?
I thought it'd be useful.
Bruce passive aggressively, like, sharpening a kryptonite blade in the corner of the living room. Shink.
Shink. Leaving a kryptonite razor in the...
Clark's trying to do a talking head, and meanwhile you just hear the snicking noise in the corner.
Oh, and actually, I just had a thought here of an actual shift that would be significant and Ooh. Totally, totally weird.
Okay.
Make it a Lord of the Rings-esque fantasy genre... We're not in Metropolis anymore. It's talking like Batman as the medieval knight, so he's wearing black armor.
Oh my God. We've got,
you know, Superman, who's like regarded as an actual god because it's medieval times. Yeah.
Oh, one of those traveling clergymen who did really, really well back in the day.
Well, he can lift up buildings, though.
Oh, you're keeping that as? Okay.
Yeah.
What if he's like, remember the Green Knight, like the Arthurian shit? You just had magical people randomly pop up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're in medieval times and somebody of Superman's power level shows up, people are going to be worshiping him.
Fair. Well, it's if you're talking fantasy level, like fantasy level as opposed to actual medieval period.
Yeah, well, the reason why I was thinking about this is that I was actually just flashing back to the beginning of the movie again and how they watched that crappy Excalibur movie. Yeah, so we could have Arthurian shit wrapped up in there too. It'd be fun.
Oh my god.
So sitcoms and fantasy.
God. Guys, love triangle a la Arthur, Guinevere, Lancelot, Lois Lane. Is the Guinevere. Superman's Arthur. Dark Knight is Lancelot. I hate the idea of love triangles because I always think, why aren't they just all date each other? But I love the idea of Bruce trying to take the girlfriend.
I think in some stories, I think Superman and Diana date, don't they?
Probably.
I think so.
Ugh.
Diana can do better.
Sorry, that's all.
Okay.
Pip and I apparently share thoughts on that one.
So yeah. And then there was one.
Yeah, you kind of stole what I was going to do, dude.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I was going to do fantasy, but then, well, you all have a good shit to say about that.
Did you have another idea, or do you want to stick with the fantasy?
To add to the fantasy, Luthor be a king or a prince, or, you know, some corrupt royalty, and, you know, he's trying to resurrect a dragon.
Ah, so you're going for fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. So where do Batman and Superman fall in here? So we have Lex, who's a king, resurrecting a dragon. Love that. Wait, Uther. What? Sorry.
Batman's still like the Dark Knight. So, you know.
Nice. Okay. Translates well.
Okay. And what about Supes? Or Diana even. Actually, Diana would fit even better.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's from Greece.
Wait. So where's Superman?
I'm still kind of not sure about that one. You know,
he's a peasant.
You already have I don't know.
What if Clark is a peasant?
Yeah, sure.
Who has powers? She's a wizard, Harry.
Oh, wait. He's a wizard. There we go.
Oh, so maybe he's like pulling a Merlin. He's wandering around looking like peasantry or whatever, and then he like pops up and he's like, hey guys, by the way, bingly bingly bop, magic, which is sufficiently godlike, I would say. Then you have him and the Dark Knight banding together but not trusting one another, because actually that's a socioeconomic difference as well, if you're a peasant versus a knight.
Oh yeah. Bruce and his entire entourage.
The guys from Entourage.
Oh no.
So Bruce shows up, he's got Alfred, like notch his age down, so he's more of a
Well, actually no, wait, Robin can still be a squire.
Oh, good call. Okay. Maybe Alfred is the seneschal of Bruce's keep back in wherever.
Yeah. Or he could just be his general, still his valet.
Fair enough. It's a fantasy world. Do what you fucking want.
Who knows?
All right, so that was everybody. I think we all had our say, right?
Yeah.
Good game, awesome. Guys. Good game.
GG.
So that was Batman v Superman. It was an adventure. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send us an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode was done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we'll celebrate Mas Chris, completely different than Christmas, and is a holiday dedicated to the famous Chrises, and we'll talk about the movie Passengers. Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Alex.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.